Let me ask a question. How many swimmers, how many people like to swim? Anybody like to swim? Okay, there's a good chunk of us. Is there a difference between swimming in a lake and a pool? What's different? Somebody help me out. What's different about swimming in a lake versus a pool?
You get blood suckers in
the lake. The lake's not quite as clean? Yeah? What? Something else? It's colder?
I know the depth of the pool.
Ah, you know the depth of the pool? Yeah. What was that?
Less chemicals.
I'll have to think about that. So one of the things that I learned when you try to swim laps in a pool versus getting in a lake, there's no wall to push up off of every 20 yards, right? I get to push, and that really makes me swim a lot faster. Okay, now, have you ever gone swimming in a river? What's different about swimming in a river versus a lake?
Currents.
Okay, so imagine I'm going to go swimming in a lake, and we're going to say, or in a river, the river's flowing from there over here, okay? And I'm going to try to cross. It's coming from there over here, and I want to get straight across, and it's flowing pretty quickly. How should I swim? Yeah, I need to start upstream, or I need to aim upstream, right? So if I start swimming here and aim at the table at the back, and I'm just going to swim there, where am I going to end up? Down there, right? If it's coming this way, I'm going to end up down there. So what I have to do is aim at Eugene, right? I got to start saying, I'm going to swim that way, and eventually I'll get over there. Okay, I say that to say I'm convinced that in our world today, there is a current that is flowing. And if we don't know that current, we're not going to end up where we think we're going to end up. In fact, what we need to do is aim upstream against the current. So I want to talk about for a few minutes is antagonism. A definition of antagonistic, I found this is really helpful. Showing or feeling active opposition or hostility towards someone or something. If you follow politics, can you imagine that might happen? That people show or feel active opposition or hostility towards someone or something. I'm going to read you a quote from C.S. Lewis. I love C.S. Lewis, God in the Dock. It's not a boat doc. Okay, this is God on trial. This great quote he says about a university setting, a talkative place. He says this, in any fairly large and talkative community, such as a university, there is always the danger that those who think alike should gravitate together into coteries, into small cliques and groups, where they will henceforth encounter opposition only in the emasculated form of rumor that the outsider says thus and thus. The absent are easily refuted, complacent dogmatism thrives, and differences of opinion are embittered by group hostility. Now hear this. Each group hears not the best, but the worst that the other group can say. In any large and talkative organization, he said university, I say politics, families, any place where we communicate by Instagram or messages or face-to-face, he says any place where we do that, we're naturally going to gravitate to the people we agree with and then tell each other the worst we've heard about the other group. Right, and so he says this, each side hears not the best that the other group can say, but only the worst. Right, we do this in politics. We get together with the people who agree with us, and we say, you know what I heard? Those people on the other side, they are really awful, because here, listen to what I heard they said. And the other side's doing the same thing. You know those people over there? Here's what they have done. What C.S. Lewis described is a reality of the society we're in. And then the social media platforms say, oh, you really like to hear bad stuff about the other people. I'll keep giving you bad stuff to read about those other people. What he described is exactly the case. And here's one of the saddest realities about the human body when it goes wrong, and that is autoimmune disorders. An autoimmune disorder is when the body attacks healthy parts of the body as if they were the enemy. We live in a society where this is the current. The current is to gather with the people we agree with, repeat the worst things that we've heard about the other folks, and feel really good about it. And we end up attacking other parts of the body of Christ. And it's a tragedy. I want to pray that God will do a work in us today to help us to grow, to swim against the current, to be what he intends. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you aren't subject to the currents of society, that you aren't swept up by the latest push in a certain direction, the latest wind flowing a certain way. We are, and so we need help. We ask for wisdom. We pray that you would teach us today, that you would do your work. We pray that you would bring about the kind of community that you envision for your people, for your church, for this church. Holy Spirit, would you do your work in each of our hearts today for your glory? In Jesus we pray. Amen. Just a brief word today, looking at this title, From Antagonism to the Common Good, looking at 1 Corinthians 12, which was read for us today. Thank you, Pedro, for doing that. We're just going to walk through these verses briefly. I encourage you to have it in front of you, but I'm also going to have it on the screen very simply. And I'll reveal to you a little bit about how I find a strategy that I find really helpful in going through a text. As I like to go to something like Bible Gateway, I copy the text into my word processor, and then I format it to try to reveal its structure. And sometimes I'll color it to try to reveal its structure. So these first three verses, let me read them and then just highlight a structure that's there. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And I love the parallelism that says, pay attention to this. There's all sorts of differences. There are different gifts and service and different kinds of working. But you know what? Behind all of those, it's the same God. It's the same Spirit. I also love that this is the Trinity, right? It's the same Spirit of God. It's the same Lord Jesus. It's the same God the Father who is at work. The Trinity is at work in the church, giving diversity, giving different things to different people, to everybody, in everyone, as God intends for his work. And so then verse 7, he says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit. This is the audible, visible, touchable expression of the invisible Spirit of God. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And he says, let me give you a feel for what these differences are. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. And then I just dropped out a few of the words just to highlight what stands out as the differences. He says, to one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, a message of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Right, he says, all sorts of different expressions of the Spirit of God, given as God chooses, from the same Spirit according to his plan. And so then verse 12, he says, here's the plan. Just as a body, the one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. You see this strong theme. He says, God's given all sorts of differences. They're really different from each other. And he highlights here different peoples, different ethnicities, different socioeconomic classes, to put them together as he's chosen to make one body. Very simply, from these verses, we see that God's designed his church to be made up of a diversity of people with a diversity of gifts in unity for the common good. God chose to gather together people with lots of differences, background, experiences, appearances, inclinations and abilities. He says, I want all these different things and I'm going to put them together for the common good. And Paul says, keep this in mind. When you see a difference, think the Holy Spirit is on the other side of that difference, having planned for this. Okay, so a little biology lesson. How do we breathe? What do you do? Yeah, two parts of breathing, right? What are the two? Somebody help me. What are the two parts of breathing? Inhale and exhale, right? So, take a deep breath. Oh, I just caught you. You're all breathing wrong. You're supposed to breathe down here. None of this, right? Right? You push the stomach out. That's how you breathe. So you push it out. That fills your lungs. And then how do you get the air back out again? Then you squeeze in, right? Then it pushes the air out. So how does your stomach go out? You've got a muscle that does that. What is that muscle? The diaphragm. What does the diaphragm do? It can only expand your lungs. The diaphragm cannot compress your lungs. It doesn't work that way. All it can do is go down like this. So how then do you push the air back out? Your stomach muscles. Yeah, your stomach muscles have got to squeeze to push it back out. So here's the key thing. In order to breathe, we have what they call antagonistic muscles that are trying to do the opposite thing. You've got some muscles that push air out, and you've got some muscles that pull air in. They're trying to do the opposite thing. It's not the same muscle, different muscles. They're trying to do the opposite thing. They're called antagonistic muscle groups. They're fighting against each other. And both are necessary. So here's healthy breathing. Big inhale and a full exhale, right? That's not healthy, right? You got to really inhale and then really exhale. And it's so much so that this is one of the key things. If you've got lung issues, somebody's got to teach you how to breathe again, because it really is important that you fully inhale and fully exhale. Unhealthy breathing is just a little bit of each. And so a key thing is, without rich use of these opposite muscles, we won't be healthy, right? So what I was going to do is to say, one half of you will be the inhale group and the other half will be the exhale group, and now breathe. And you can inhale, but now you're done. Somebody's got to come help you exhale. And if you're exhaling, somebody's got to come help get air back in you. Right, we've got to have these muscles working together. We have to have these opposite urges that we let live out. So I want to ask you a question. I think there are opposite muscles in the church. What could be some of those? What might be some opposite muscles in the church that we need both of them, but they seem like they're working against each other? Any ideas? Yeah. Yes, we have some people who are very oriented around schedules. And some schedules sound like it's the opposite of human engagement. So I heard this at a conference not long ago about diverse churches. The pastor said, if I want to learn to disciple a man who is from Europe, what I'm going to do is we'll get out our phones, we'll look at our schedules, we'll pick a coffee shop, and say, yeah, about every other Tuesday for an hour and a half, we'll get together and we'll develop a relationship, and this is going to be great. And the man from Europe says, cool, I know how to do that. And then he says, I had somebody else in our church who was from Egypt. And I suggested this, and the guy couldn't understand what in the world I was talking about. He says, I learned that if I'm going to develop a relationship with him, I've got to go to his house and have dinner and sit and talk and wait, and somewhere in there, this is going to happen. I try to say that to my European friend, and they're like, really? I mean, that's going to take a lot of time, isn't it? And there's no judgment in it. It's to say they're really different. So yeah, I just want to highlight, some of us are very schedule-oriented, and there's real good in that. And some of us, the schedule just sounds awful, and there's wonderful good in that. Good, another example. What's another opposite muscle group we might find? Yeah.
Like evangelism or outreach versus like church fellowship and taking care of one another.
Fantastic. Yeah, such a rich thing of evangelism and caring for the body. Another way I would express it is some of us are really oriented around gathering Christians together. It's good to come together to worship, to encourage, and to care for each other. And others of us say, no, what we really need to do is to scatter. We really need to just spread people out to go out and connect with the world. And this is a wonderful connection because this is so much like breathing. Bring us together, send us out. Bring us together, send us out. So what do we tend to do? We tend to find judgment. We say, oh, those people who just want everybody to gather. Oh, that's not right. And the other is like, all I want to do is send us all out, but we need to be together. And we need to learn to breathe deeply to say, there we are together. Send us out. Let's breathe again. Instead of judgment, instead of pushing back. Right? We have people who are thinkers and people who are doers. And how easy it is to judge the people in the opposite camp. All they do is want action. They got to stop and think about it first. All they do is sit around and talk. When do they do anything, right? And we can get into antagonistic attitudes when what we really need is a rich use of what different people bring, right? So without this rich use of opposite muscles, we will not be healthy. We need people who say what we need is more justice, more truth. And we need people who say we need more mercy, right? We need the compassion of God, and we do. But if you try to inhale and exhale at the same time with intensity, what do you think happens? It just hurts. Doesn't accomplish anything. We've got to learn to work where we value what each other brings and create space for each other. Because God has designed his church to be made up of a diversity of people with a diversity of gifts in unity for the common good. Here's a statement that really helped me this week. Our unity can be enhanced by appreciating the variety of gifts God has given to us. If we would just step back and say, huh, look at that. We've got a lot of different gifts and inclinations among us. And those are gifts of God. As opposed to saying, oh no, another one of those people. Oh, they're going to push too hard that way, right? No, to say, God has given a great gift to us. So I would say here are at least two bad approaches about God's gifts. One is to say, well, my gift, my perspective, that's the right one. The people who see it differently, well, they're wrong. And, you know, if they'd slow down enough, I could tell them why they're wrong. But they're wrong and my way is right. But also, some of us have a tendency to say, you know what, I guess my gift or perspective is not valuable. It's not valuable to God. It's not valuable to me. And I really think the good approach is to appreciate the variety of gifts and peoples as gifts God has given us for a common good. And when we see differences, we should say, wow, God is creative. I probably wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have made a human body where my bicep and my tricep are just trying to do the opposite thing. Right? Try running and never use your hamstrings, right? The muscles on the back. Try running, right? You're just going to land on your face if all you do is push. But God in his wisdom said, I'm going to put opposites together so they'll learn to love each other and then function in harmony for the common good. Now, I do want to say it takes discernment, right? Because not everything that comes our way is a gift of God, right? Some people say, I think the church should just be more about money, right? That's what it ought to be, right? Well, we need to pay attention to money, but anybody who says money is the point, that needs to be confronted. And so it takes discernment. And yet, I think our big problem is that we live in a society that looks at difference and says, well, those are bad people. And we ought to fix them or encourage them to go elsewhere. And we end up with a body that can't breathe. We end up with a body that can't run. Because God has designed his church to be made up of a diversity of people with a diversity of gifts in unity for the common good. And so the simple call is let's appreciate the variety of gifts and peoples as gifts from God. And when we encounter something that says, oh, wait a minute, this is pushing the wrong way, say, well, is it really, or is it just the complementary thing to my inclination, and I need people to complement me. In a minute, we're going to, Eric, if you want to come up in a minute, we're going to have a time of sharing together. And we'll have the microphones, I'll walk around. It's just a time to declare God's goodness and the ways that we have seen God at work. But I encourage us, as we do this also, perhaps we can give some expression of appreciation for God's work through people, especially when what they do is different than what we would have done, and to express to God and to the community, this is a beautiful thing that God has done. But let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your wisdom. And we confess, I confess, how quickly when I hear a voice that's different from what I would say, or an action that goes different than the direction I would choose, to assume it's wrong. Father, I pray that you would give us the openness to recognize that your body is made up of really different things. And you and your wisdom have given gifts as you've chosen, and there are good and rich differences in those. I pray for wisdom. I pray especially for humility. Show us how to work in harmony with different notes at different times, but in harmony together for the common good of your church, of your people, for your glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen.